World's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
We like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, what's that old song from the 60s or 70s? Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. Hey, children, stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Crazy, crazy times, folks. Coach Dave, I got on my Make America Great Again hat. I fled to a faraway place. You can see I'm not sitting in my normal studio. We fled to a faraway place. Maybe we're in Argentina. Maybe we're in Brazil. Maybe we're in Bangor, Maine. We're out on the road. Big day tomorrow. Getting ready to do a little bit of work at the holding some abortion signs at the polls. Trying to fight the good fight to the very end. Hey, listen, I'm not one of you guys out there that's scared. I want you to know I'm not scared at all. I'm excited. I can't wait to see where this whole thing's going to go. I can't wait to see what's going to happen tomorrow night on November 9th when we get up. I can't wait to see which battle plan we get to put into place. Because I've been telling you now for a long time that it's going to be not this. We're not going to make America great again. We're going to make the church great again. It's going to be our finest hour. You guys out there, you believe that? You guys in the queue, you believe it's going to be our finest hour? Oh, man, I bet you right now if we could get a look up into heaven, you know, it says in Hebrews 12, we're seeing how we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us run with patience. Let us shake off every sin and every weight that so easily ensnares us and run with patience the race that is set before us. Man, there is going to be a starter's gun fired tomorrow, Wednesday morning, whenever we wake up, this sprint to try to make the church great again. You up for it, JR? Hey, are you up for it? You up for it, Sarge, Rich? You guys up for it? I can't wait, man. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. And it's crazier and crazier and crazier. Let me put my dollar store glasses on that used to be black, but they lost all the paint, and they're white. They still work. I got to put these on to be able to see all the guys down here in the queue. we live in crazy, crazy, crazy times. Crazy times. What's going on with James Comey and that whole investigation? 65,000 emails. I'm sorry, 650,000 emails that somehow they miraculously went through and determined there isn't anything there, and it's a rigged game. And what? Crazy, isn't it, folks? Isn't it crazy? I got so many things to share with you today. So many videos I want to share with you. But I got a video I want to start you with right now. Can I do that, Jared? Jared's really working on a lot of stuff back there. So let's give Jared a hand or give him a little chance there. Jared, let's go down there. Hey, Jared, play that video there. It says, who are those guys? Before he plays it, I want to ask you guys this. Who are those guys? John Podesta. Hillary Clinton. Bill Clinton. Cheryl Mills, Dick Morris. Who are those guys? Barack Obama. Valerie Jarrett. Henry Kissinger. Who are those guys? And who are these people running our lives? And how did we as God-fearing, red-blooded Americans get to the point where we are prisoners to this cabal of people. We don't even know who they are. We don't know anything about who are these people. Reminds me of the movie. I'm going to talk a little bit in this clip. Did you guys see? You guys certainly all saw Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, didn't you? Give me a thumbs up if you saw that. Remember that scene where Butch and Butch Cassidy and Sundance are running on their horses, and this posse keeps following them, and he keeps stomping, and they look around, they can't shake these guys, and they get up on this mountain, they look out, and they can't shake these guys, and Butch Cassidy keeps saying, "Who are those guys? Who are those guys?" That posse that was chasing down. Remember that? That's what I feel today. Who are these people? This manipulation, this man behind the curtain, this stuff that's going on. Who are those guys? Well, Jared, I'm going to pull a fast one on you. Oh, look at this, my wife. Look how pretty she is here this morning. She got to get down there. Huh? I pulled her away. We struck off to Argentina or wherever we are, hiding until the election's over. Let's do this. Let's go to Ezekiel 2. Yeah. Oh, hey, thump, 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 thump. My heart's beating today. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. I can't wait for the opportunities that lie ahead. What if we get a chance to die a glorious standing up for Jesus death? Huh? Would you rather die like that, or would you rather die in a FEMA camp? Huh? I picture myself getting to stand before Hillary Clinton or John whoever. I picture myself getting a chance to stand before them and rebuking them to their face as they lower the guns on me. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? Right Wing Watch is going to like that one. I'll put that one up. Hey, by the way, out there, Right Wing Watch, I want to thank you. You've become my greatest promoter. Every time you guys throw me up there, our views go up. So I want to thank you. Didn't you have to pay? See, we're getting great publicity, and the devil's paying for it. Isn't that something only God can do? Huh?
Amen, Coach.
Amen. Hey, is that Serge?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good to hear you, Serge. Good to have you in here. I've got a kind of a divided screen today because, again, here in Argentina, that's the way things work. But here's what I found out. The Bible is true in Argentina. So let's go there real quick. This is for all of you out there. I can't see it because I got that small screen. So I'm going to... Jared, can you make that a little bit bigger for me, you think? I mean, it's probably already pretty big, but it's for me, it's small. Hey, Roger, can you read that for me? Because I can't hardly read it. Hey, guys, this is for us. Just let this sink into you as you read this, okay? I got my phones blowing up. I got stuff coming down here. I got people who don't even know we're on the air right now. Ezekiel 2. Ezekiel is a prophet, right? The Lord's going to speak to Ezekiel. Go ahead and read that to us, Raj. Can't hear you, man. You're muted or something. Not hearing you there, Weaver. Not hearing you. I'm going to fire you.
I'll start it, Coach. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat thou that findest.
No, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Jim, you're in 3, I think.
Yeah, okay. Listen,
JR, 3 is even better than 2, but let's start in 2.
And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee.
How about that? Huh? You get that? He said, get up here, boy. I want to talk to you. Go ahead.
And the Spirit entered into me.
Wow, I could preach right there. He said, you get up. I got something to tell you. And he stood up and the Spirit entered into him. Man, that makes my heart beat fast. Go ahead.
And he entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet that I heard him that spake unto me.
All right, here we go.
And he said unto me, Son of man.
No. He says, JR, Roger, Rich, George, Sarge. See, he said, Son of man, because he's talking to all of us. That's why he didn't say to Zeke, hey, Zeke, let me tell you this. He said, no, Son of man, because he knew thousands of years later, we're going to be reading this and it's going to apply to us as well. Go ahead.
Interesting. I send thee to the children of Israel.
Who?
the children of Israel.
Who's he sending? Who's he sending?
You, me.
Yeah. Me. Who's he sending him to?
The children of Israel.
I'm just doing this for emphasis, okay? Go ahead.
To a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me, they wow. and their fathers.
Mm. Now, hang on, JR. Because he's not sending them to the nation. When he's talking about the nation, who's he talking about here?
The church.
The church. He's not sending them to the nation. He's sending them to the church, right? Isn't it interesting? He's calling the church a nation. Go ahead.
They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day.
Still doing it.
For they are impudent children.
Impudent. What's an impudent child?
Misbehaving.
Spoiled, misbehaved, self-centered. Go ahead.
And stiff-hearted.
Yeah, oh boy. Hey, JR, yeah. You read, I'll just comment. I like this.
Okay. I do send thee unto them, and thou hast say unto them, thus saith the Lord.
Okay, now look, guys, this doesn't seem to me to be multiple choice or an option. He isn't saying, hey, how'd you like to try this one for me? Hey, listen, you can do this A, or you can do B, or you can do C, or you can do D. No, no, he says, hey, boys, listen, I'm going to send you something, and here's what you're going to do, and you're going to get on your feet, and you're going to go tell them, and you're going to tell them it's from me. And you talk to their mommies, and you talk to their daddies, and you say it's not just the kids, but the kids are screwed up because the mommies and daddies are screwed up. Go ahead, JR, doing great.
And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear.
They probably won't. They probably won't hear. Because they're impudent. Aren't they impudent?
They are a rebellious house.
Never Trumpers, they call them.
Yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them.
Wow. Do you feel my heart? Don't ever forget that, man. Listen. Don't ever forget that. But when the Lord gives you the chance to go deliver the mail, your job is to deliver the mail. Your job is not to convince them. Your job is not to win them to Jesus. Your job is not to do anything other than to deliver the mail. And when you walk out of there, they're going to say, what the hell just happened? What was that? Get the picture? Read that last sentence again, JR, because that makes my heart pound.
And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear,
who cares?
For they are a rebellious nation, a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them.
Amen, baby. What's that prophet say? I told you. Hey, don't come crying to me. I told you. Keep going, JR, because it's going to get better. You listening there, Raj?
Y'all might want to stand up for this one.
Yeah.
Thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Their briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house.
Okay, now, guys, listen. Where is he sending the people? JR, where is he sending the people?
Wait.
To the church. JR, what's in the church again? Help me out there.
What's in the church? Where are we at here?
We'll start there, that verse you just finished. And thou, son of man.
Oh, Briar.
Don't be afraid of them. Because wait, hey. There must be something scary about doing it. Must be something scary. Go ahead.
Their briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions.
Mm-mm-mm.
Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks.
Wow, for their rebellious house. Name it, claim it. Best life now. Who am I to judge? Gay marriage, come on in here. Homosexuals, you're welcome here. Come and sit beside me. It's like I heard Michael Savage say that the most dangerous thing about Christianity was forgiveness. He says it's greatest strength and its greatest weakness. Christians want to just forgive everybody and everything. He says, that's noble, but that's their greatest weakness because they won't fight. They're too busy forgiving. They're constantly forgiving and never fighting. Keep going, JR.
And thou shalt speak my words unto them.
Whose words? Whose words, JR?
His words, the Lord's words.
You're just a messenger?
Mm-hmm.
You're just a carrier pigeon, right, JR?
Yep.
Okay.
whether they will hear or whether they will forbear.
They probably won't, though.
For they are most rebellious.
Yep.
But thou, son of man, hear what I say to thee.
You hearing him, JR?
Be not thou rebellious like rebellious now. Open thy mouth and eat that I gave thee.
Wow. He said, now you going to pussy out on me? Because when you pussy out on me, you ain't no better than them. I'm giving you a direct order and a direct command that you go and you do it. And they're going to be briars and they're going to be scorpions and they're going to hate you. And I'm going to tell you something, JR. Tell you something there, Weaver. Huh? You going to be rebellious like them? You ain't going to do it? Because you're worried about them, scared of them, all that kind of stuff? You want to pay patty cake? Patty cake bakers, man. Hold hands, sing kumbaya with everybody while the world's falling apart. My church has become a harlot and you won't even go say it. I'm giving you the word directly. You go tell them and you ain't going to do it. It's so empty a church, boys. So empty a church. Let's finish up here, JR. Although three's better. Maybe we'll save that till tomorrow.
And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me. And lo, a roll of a book was therein.
And what did he do, JR?
He spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations, mourning, and woe.
Anybody else feel that goosebump go down your spine right there? Huh? Did anybody see? He didn't send them that book that talked about their best life now, did he? 50 ways to be $50 richer in 50 seconds if you work for fit. What? He didn't send them that book, did he? No. He said it's a book full of what? Let's see. There was lamentations and mourning and woe. Something great's getting ready to happen, boys. Something great. Now, here's what I'm going to do tomorrow. We're going to read chapter 3 because it's going to piggy up right up in front of that. Hey, Weave, what do you think about what we just read there, bud? Weaver can't get working this morning. Can't hear you, Raj. Lamentations, mourning, and woe. Roger doesn't want to do it. He's rebellious. He doesn't want to speak, maybe. Maybe that's what it is. What do you think there, Sarge?
Spot on.
Huh? This ain't a greasy, greasy gospel. It's going to do you good, is it? But I'm telling you this. Well, you just read there in Ezekiel 2. Do you understand that was God's anointing of Ezekiel? That was it. He laid that mantle right on him. So there it is. There you go, buddy. There's what you get, George. You go tell them, George, and they ain't going to like it. You can write them letters, and they'll tell you that you're divisive and that you're not loving and you're angry and you have a personality disorder and you need to spend more time around your wife. And they'll come up with all kinds of things. But you got to go do it. I got my friend Tom Munns. I'm with Tom this week. Tom's from Boise, Idaho. Maybe tomorrow I'll make him wake up and join me here on the show. He and I were having a discussion yesterday. Hey, Rich, I can't lay this thing down. You know what I'm talking about?
Coach, I'm so excited I can't hardly stand it.
I can't lay it down, man. See, listen, we think we're coming together on November 17th. See, it's bigger than we even know. This is a God thing on November 17th. What's coming this way? Because what's ahead of us? We just read it. Lamentations and mourning and woe. But I can't lay it down. I cannot lay it down. I used to be the most happy-go-lucky, fun-loving, cussing, carousing, beer-drinking, who-cares guy until the Lord got a hold of me. He stood me up on my feet, and he spoke to me. He says, listen, you better quit screwing around. You go do this. Go do this. It's cost me pastor friends and pastor's wives friends and pew sitter friends and dog friends. It's cost me all kinds of friends because them people don't like to hear this message. Who wants to hear this? It's like when we got done listening to Larry Nichols the other day. And if you haven't listened to that from Larry Nichols yet, shame on you. Listen to that thing. It's like my wife said, oh, my goodness, honey, that's kind of depressing. I said, that ain't depressing. That's a scouting report. That's a scouting report. He's telling us what we got to get ready for. Crazy, man. We live in a crazy, crazy world. This thing that just went on with Comey, and it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anybody trying to get in here, I can't see. I'd love to hear from Roger if he could get his device to work. Ain't working, Weave. I can't blame you. I can't blame us because it's working for everybody else. Everybody else is jumping in here. Are you unmuting it at the top there, Roger? You'll figure it out. Hey, come here, Tom.
Coach, while he's doing this, is Kevin.
Come here, look at Tom's. Hang on, Kevin. Here's Tom. Tom is from Idaho. He also has fled to Argentina with me today. Tom, say hi to him. You can speak kind of loud.
Hola.
Hola. Go ahead, Sarge.
Hey, I just want to tell everybody, especially if you're coming to the boot camp, I read over the weekend Michael Savage's new book, Scorched Earth, and I highly recommend you all get a chance to read that. It's about 300 pages, but it reads very quickly. He has, even though he's not claiming he's a Christian or that he is an active Jewish guy.
It doesn't matter, Kevin. He's flowing in the spirit, isn't he?
He is. He is flowing in the spirit, and he understands what this battle is, not only the spiritual side of it, but this whole Islamophobia battle and this jihad that is facing us at the gates. And you need to hear this before we get together this on the boot camp weekend, because I will be bringing to the boot camp some strategic perspective on all of this.
Oh,
we're going to have some discussion.
It's good. Hey, ain't for the faint-hearted, right? Hey, what's the message? Lamentations, mourning, and whoa, we just read it. Come on, boys. Come on. Trump ain't going to make America great again. It's just, if Trump gets elected, it's just going to show us which direction the fire is going to come from. That's all. Nothing else has changed. And no matter who wins, whether Hitler wins or whether Trump wins, it's a great chance to make the church great again. Wait, let's not be whining and moaning and groaning. This is going to be our finest hour. Going to be our fine. Hey, come on. You want to die laying in a nursing home? Is that what you want to do? Die in a FEMA camp? I'm going to go down standing up. That's what I'm going to do. I ain't going to go out and try to kill anybody, but I ain't running. Hey, Rich, I ain't running from it. I ain't going to run from it. And as my buddy Flip Benham always said, listen, I'm going to go over and I'm going to throw my body on the barbed wire, and then I'm going to let those follow after me run right over the top of me. This, hey, lamentations, mourning, and woe. We just read it, didn't we? We just read it. So I want to share this with you. Who are those guys? That's how I started out this morning. Who the? Boy, sometimes I really want to cuss. What's it say over here? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Sarge put in there. And if you shall be, I can't see it because my screen's scrunched down there. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2.
I'll read it real quick. It says,
Thanks, Sarge. Go ahead.
Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?
Amen, Sarge. Amen. Amen.
Hey, while I got the line, I just want to read one thing out of his book, out of Michael Savage's book. And this is in his last chapter where he says, you know, the social communism rhetoric of Sanders is still resonating to the young, the uneducated, and the educated brainwashed, because the revolution has come to America. It's coming from Sanders and Clinton. It's coming from the Catholic Church. He says, but it's not coming from me. We are going to stop this revolution and replace it with one of our own, just like Obamacare, repeal and replace. We are going to save America together. We are not going to sit here whining and wringing our hands. If the time comes, we will be in the streets because we are going to stop them. I will not die on this earth and leave this country in ruins for my granddaughter to inherit because we were too cowardly to stand up for what we believe.
And that's Reverend Michael Savage. Is that some holy man saying that? No. It's unsaved Michael Savage. He sees it clearer than anybody else can see. Hey, guys, I'm going to shock you here right now. Sit down. Everybody put your seatbelt on. John, I'll be right with you there. You ready? Got your all seat belt on? You ain't going to be raptured out of here. Whatever's coming's coming.
Amen, Coach.
You ain't going to be raptured out of here. And the sooner you realize this, that you are a spirit who lives in a body and possesses a soul. You know, it ain't about this life. Our existence is not about this life. See, we're supposed to be here to advance the kingdom. That's why the Lord put us here. He didn't put us here so we can have, oh my goodness, plasma TVs and cars and store up a bunch of money. He put us here to be agents that he was going to work through. And all you have to do, listen, fellas, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I'm going to. Did you watch that video of that demonic occult? I don't even know what to call it. Don't you? How long have I been telling you that we're wrestling against demonic forces in high places, and it's exposed force? And you know what? The average Christian don't even believe it. They don't even believe in the occult. They don't even believe that Hillary could be the princess of darkness. They don't even believe it. It's never entered their mind because Hillary doesn't have time. The devil doesn't have time to steal the government because he's trying to steal your wealth. He's trying to steal your happiness and your joy. He's too busy picking on you to try to get the White House. Freaking stupid are we? Crazy crime. I won't play this. Just, I made this video 5 years ago, 4 years ago. Who are those guys? Who are those guys? This popped into my spirit this morning. Hey, hang on, let's get John rather than keeping him hanging on, then we'll come back to it. Go ahead, Larry, kick John up in there.
You're good to go, John.
Okay. Kid Brothers, I'm just calling in from Kentucky to tell you the front down here. Get in the fight, guys. I'm doing it for my grandkids. I hope all of you have grandkids. Take a look at the picture. Carry the picture with you to look at it from time to time. That's what we're doing. We're trying to save this country for our grandkids so they can worship Jesus Christ without fear of being underground, that they have nothing to be ashamed of. Come to the camp. Come to boot camp. Learn how to fight the fight in love, but be as smart as serpents, but as harmless as doves.
Amen, John. I'll see you at the boot camp. See you guys. Listen.
God bless,
listen,
brother.
Listen. The Buckeyes pounded the crap out of Nebraska. What was it, 62-3 or something like that? Something unbelievable. Ohio State was 7-1, and Nebraska was 7-1. And Ohio State went for blood. They weren't trying to save Nebraska. They weren't trying to be tolerant with the players from Nebraska. In fact, the fans were screaming and hollering for more blood. Up 62-3, more blood. Give us more blood. What's the point I'm making? The guys, this idea of loving everybody, as Larry has so aptly told us, as you love our brothers, you love our brothers. Our love is not to be wasted on those who are enemies of the cross. Larry, would you amen that? Give me a thumbs up. I feel like I'm all alone here. Huh?
No,
it's available. It's available to them, but they're the enemy. They're the enemy. And that was the point Savage made, that we are so forgiving that we won't go for the juggler. Hey, Rich, how forgiving do you think those Mohammedans are, huh? Do you think when they hold that knife to our throat, they're going to be asking us if we want to come to have Mohammed come into our hearts? Do you think that's what they're doing? We better know our enemy, and we better wake up and see what's going on. And I'm going to tell you, little Hillary and all of her cabal there in Washington, D.C., they're doing blood sacrifices. You don't have to believe it, and you don't have to like it. See, we do this. Well, I don't see it. It can't be happening. It's not really happening. Oh, no, that's not. Huh? Yeah, it's happening. I've been trying to tell you ever since we started in January what's going on. Nobody wants to believe it. By the way, Sarge, I have to confess to you. I read half of the Shinar directive here on the way over here. Oh my goodness, Michael Lake's book, unbelievable, man. Wow, that's a book I ought to get in the hands of all of you as well. The Shinar directive tells you what's going on. Okay, listen, I've threatened to do this. Let's do it. Who are these guys? I made this 5 years ago. Sarge, Rich, you're always digging these things up. Should have dug this one up, man. This is pretty good. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
folks, this is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, News with Views.tv at newswiththeuse.com, asking you the question, who are those guys? Who are those guys? You know, one of the, my favorite movies that I ever saw was back in, golly, I was clear back in college, I think in the 1970s, when the movie Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid came out. And Butch Cassidy, and who was played by Robert Redford, or by Paul Newman, Redford played the Sundance Kid, were criminals who were running from the law. And they got on their horses and they were riding through the desert and being great guys who had the ability to navigate up through the mountains and everything. They were trying to get away from this posse that was chasing them. And they kept riding up a hill, and they'd get up on top of the mountain, and they'd look back over the corner and look out into the flatlands, and there would be the posse still following them. Butch Cassidy would turn to the Sundance Kid and say, who are those guys? And I'm reminded of the country and music song. I can't remember who wrote it, but I sure can sing it. And that was, who's this man running my life? Or maybe it's, who's that man living my life? Talking about a divorced man who drives by his house and another man's married his wife and is taking care of his kids. Well, that's the feeling that I have today. Who are those guys? Who are those guys? He said, Coach, what are you talking about? Who are those guys in Washington, D.C. running my life? Who are they? Who is Barack Obama? How did he get to the highest point in America, President of the United States? Who is Hillary Clinton? Where did she come from? Who winds her up in the morning and sets her off? Who are those guys? Who is Joe Biden? Who is Cass Sunstein? Who are those guys? See, one of the dangers that we face in America today, folks, is the ability to be so easily manipulated by the media. I was talking with somebody the other day who is an investigator, a private investigator. He said he's never seen anything like it, how President Obama in particular had risen from obscurity to where he is so easily. And the question that he would always ask himself as a private investigator, the number one question that investigators would ask themselves is, why? Why? Is President Obama just a front man? Is he the proverbial man behind the curtain? You remember that, don't you, from The Wizard of Oz, when that dog Toto runs over and grabs a hold of the curtain and drags the curtains back, and the wizard's in there cranking and say, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Who is Ben Bernanke? Who are the people who are manipulating the currency? Who are the people that are pumping that money into the financial system and making the stock market go up? Who are those men running our lives? Oh, the media. They love to come in. They love to raise up a new star today and then bring down a new star tomorrow. They love to do that. That's what they do. But unfortunately, there is a man behind the curtain cranking the power to control everything that goes on. I know that sounds conspiratorial. I know that's something that makes a lot of people nervous, but ask yourself this. Where did Hillary get that power? Where did John Kerry get that power? Where did Obama get that power? Who are those guys? This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at newswiththeuse.tv and newswiththeuse.com. We'll see you next time.
You know, I think that might be a pretty important question to answer. Who are those guys? And how did they get... Hey, can I ask you a better question, JR? Who are those guys running the church? Who are those guys? And how, if there's so much truth in the Bible, and Christians stand on the truth, then why there's so much debate about what's true in the church? We divide over whether you water baptize or whether you sprinkle, whether you do it in Jesus' name or whether you do it in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, whether the baptism and the gifts of the Spirit are real or whether they ceased, whether there's a rapture or whether there's not. It's, come on, there's only one truth. And we learned a long time ago on this show that it's only the truth that you know that's going to set you free.
Amen.
And people like to say, well, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, you're a fool. You're a fool. Because he said that the Bereans searched the scriptures daily to see if what they'd been taught was the truth. See, our problem isn't the demoniacs. That's not our problem. The problem are the guys on our side that are controlling things. You know, JR, I was thinking about this today. I was listening to your show Saturday morning. That's not true. I was listening to it, tape delay, because he had some issues. I was listening to it. And I was listening to a replay of this. I was listening to my interview with Larry Nichols. And JR, I thought of this. What would be the odds of me playing that on Christian radio here in Columbus, Ohio? What would be the odds of letting JR come on there with his show and be on Christian radio, Columbus, Ohio? What are the odds of that, JR? And JR, who are those guys that aren't letting you get on there? Who are those guys? And who are those guys that is calling Rich and George and Roger and Larry, calling us conspiracy theorists and sowing discord amongst the brethren? Who are those guys? Who are those guys? And I'm going to tell you what's happened to us is the church has become powerless because our leadership has become visionless. Our leadership has become worldly. Our leadership has become temporal. We don't have any idea. I'm going to do a show this week. Somebody prompted me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do a show on Declaration of Independence. We've been here before. And even though we know that it was the Black Robe Regiment that led the American Revolution, so they said, most of the churches weren't with them. Hey, JR, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen in the next 60 days, JR, if folks begin to hit the streets? Wait a minute. The good guys begin to hit the streets. What's going to happen then? What's going to happen then? Somebody save me here. What do you think? What's going to happen? What's going to happen, Rich? The good guys are going to hit the streets, brother. I want you to know that. The good guys are going to hit the streets.
There's going to be opposition.
There is going to be opposition. Where's the opposition going to come from?
The church.
Yep, it's going to come from the church. But we just read from Ezekiel, didn't it? Ezekiel told us what we needed to do and how we needed to be prepared. Hey, George, how's your church out there and out in the flatlands? How are they going to respond to that message that you're going to want to bring? And George, is it possible that there are going to be some in your church going to be saying, you know, that daggone George, he's been saying that. He's been warning us of that. What do you think, George? Then Jared, I'll get you in a minute. Go ahead, George.
You know, Coach, I think there are some that, and we've talked about this, that if you came into the church, I think there's a number of men that would wake up, no question. But I think the leadership keeps it squelched. They don't want to hear it. They're too comfortable. They want to focus on their prestige, their money, their influence. And so I think overall, the church as a whole, there'd be no change. But I think individual lives would be changed.
Hey, Jared. Get ready, Jared. I want you. Sarge, let me ask you this real quick. Hey, Sarge. Am I speaking heresy? No. I mean, can anybody watch this show? I've stumbled a couple times. I've said some things that maybe weren't exactly hermeneutically perfect, but hey, yes or no? Was I warning 6 months ago that there's demons in the White House? Was I warning that? Yes or no? Was I?
Yes, no. And you're only doing what others before you have been doing. But we've all been asleep at the wheel. Ted Gunderson, a former FBI district. I mean, the man was telling us 10 years ago, you know, they say he died of cancer, but they also say he got poisoned. He was too close to the truth. Michael Savage has been telling us 20 years, borders, language, and culture mean something. And we have refused to listen to it because we've got people in the pulpit who are telling everyone, you know, we can just all get along. And, you know, that Catholicism, you know, that's pretty good stuff. And let's get ecumenically involved and let's all get together and let's all eat and share the bread together. And, oh, these poor Lutherans, man, you know, they just signed this joint agreement. They're going to go ahead and join up with the Catholics next year in 27, which is a big jubilee year. But guess what? Boy, that poor Pope Francis, he just told them they're not going to be able to have their win.
Oh, you froze up there, Sarge. Go ahead, George, then Jared.
Hey, Coach, you know, we all know there's two types of sins. There's sins of commission and sins of omission. But, you know, when's the last time you heard these churches talk about sins of omission? Are they not as great or greater than sins of commission?
They're certainly the same. For him who knows to do good, not to do it, to him it is sin. Yeah, I'm with you. Jared, trying to jump in here.
Yeah, Coach, I think we could just remember how unbelievably weak the church is, and just if it comes to people hitting the streets, you have to, your enemy, I would view it almost like a what's it called when your muscles degrade from being in the hospital?
Atrophy.
Yeah, they're so, your enemy is going, you are going to have been building your muscles by watching this show and by going to abortion protests and by going to this stuff. And the enemy, which we've determined is going to be the church, they're going to be so atrophied that you'll just blow them over. You'll be like, look, just get out of my way. You know, you won't even have to acknowledge their existence. They'll just be pawing at your heels. And you're like, look, just stop it. You know, get away from me. You know, they're so weak. Their arguments are so weak. Their mind is so weak. This weekend, I was at Target, and I had a woman come up to me, and she came to, under like, oh, you're doing it wrong. You know, you're not being loving. She's like, I agree with you, Christian, this, that. I didn't even talk to her. I looked at her. I said, would you like to join us? Because I was reading Proverbs. I was reading the Bible with all our signs and everything. And I was like, would you like to join us? And she's like, oh, yeah, sure. And I was like, okay, good. And then I just kept reading the Bible. I don't know. I didn't even talk. I barely even talked to her. I said two words to her. You know, she says, hey, you know, do you really think you're going to save people doing this? And I looked at her. I said, it's not my job to save people. And then I kept reading the Bible. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
The truth. Just keep saying the truth. And then
that's
her
right.
Real colors came out after just a few minutes. Her real colors came out and said, well, she started getting, you know, antsy and had to work herself up because I wasn't getting worked up. Somebody's got to be emotional. Somebody's got to get angry, you know?
So. Yes. Foolish and unlearned questions do avoid, for they do engender strifes, it tells us in Timothy. And I've said for years, well, for 10 years anyway, that the revolution, the pushback was going to come from the NASCAR crowd. I've said that for years. It wasn't going to come from the church. Hey, Rich, you know who that NASCAR crowd is? They're sick of it, aren't they, brother?
It's all us white trash.
It's all us deplorables, us white trash. It's exactly right. So don't miss it. Don't miss the connections that we're trying to make, been making all along about the WASPs and Western civilization and all of that stuff. It all applies. Hey, I played this video. Jared, let's get me. Do you see what I see? I thought this was one of the more profound ones that I've done. By the way, when the Lord hits me, it's just kind of, I just said, man, I got to make a video. And I made this. It's only 2 minutes. Got a lot of views this weekend. Do you see what I see? Go ahead, Jared.
Good morning, folks. Sunday morning here. Let's think about a Christmas carol this morning. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Well, do you? Are your eyes finally beginning to get open? Do you see it yet? Do you see what's really going on? Do you see what's really happening in our government? Do you really, have you really begun to see now that it's not really Republicans and Democrats and liberals and conservatives? Have you really begun to see that it's we the people against the rest of them? Do you see that yet? Do you see what I see? Do you understand how they've divided us? How they've made Christian brother fight against Christian brother over abortion and over gay marriage and over whether this candidate's most righteous or not? Folks, listen, when this election's over on Tuesday, a couple days from now, the battle hasn't changed. Our challenge is to make the church great again, not America great again, to make the church great again. If Donald Trump wins, we might have a little bit of reprieve and our job might be easier. If Hillary wins, it's going to be the fight of our life. The struggle of our life for Western civilization. See, it's good against evil. Demons, we're hearing to talk about demons and rituals and witches and everything going on in the White House. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Folks, Western civilization is in the balance, and Christian brothers have been divided over what's right and what's wrong, what candidate's good and what candidate isn't good. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Oh, it's our chance to make America great again. No matter who wins on Tuesday, it's our chance to make America great again. But before we do that, we got to understand where we are. See how they've divided us? See how it's one political class against the world? Do you understand that it's no longer we the people, but them the politicians, them the ones in control? Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Enjoy the next couple days, because them boys, it's going to be time to buckle up. Do you see what I see?
Do you, Rich? Do you see what I see? Does anybody see what I see? Roger, do you see what I see? Huh? What was that old 1960s song? There's none as blind, none as blind as those who will not see. Are you working yet, Roger? I'd love to hear from you today. No, Roger doesn't know what's going on. Kevin just joined us there. Good to see you, Kevin. Good to see you. So we're coming to, listen, I'm tired of all the big talking. How many times can I get up in the morning and turn on my computer and see what WikiLeaks, the bomb they dropped today, or Anonymous, the bomb they're dropping today, or the New York City Police Department, the bomb they're dropping today? Was somebody going to drop a bomb? What's going on? Somebody going to drop a bomb? Or is it just distraction, 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 distraction? I'm going to tell you this. I know this from the very depths of my being. Donald Trump is about 30 points ahead. But I don't know if he's going to win. It's about 30 points ahead. And hey, Rich, it's unbelievable to me that the devil has been unmasked. We now see that Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, John Podesta, is going to bloody rituals where they are mixing breast milk, sperm, blood, and spreading it on the walls and over little babies. We see this. And the church, what's the church's reaction? What is the, couldn't a pastor get in his pulpit yesterday and say, look at this? Witchcraft in the highest office in the land. You know why they can't say that? They don't believe it. They're good Democrats. They don't believe it. But our eyes are open. Our eyes are open. Because our eyes are open, fellas, we have got to get ourselves prepared. 10 minutes left. Somebody jump in here. Sarge saved me, or Larry saved me, or Kevin, somebody saved me here this morning.
But God is in control, Coach.
Yes, he is. He sure is. And he gave us a bowling ball, a wrecking ball. And
We don't want to get ahead of him. We don't want to get in his road.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you see what I see, JR? Do you hear what I hear? Huh?
Okay, can I make a comment about God is in control?
Yeah, please do.
You know, God is in control in the fact that he created this world and he created mankind and he wrote the rule book. And he's in control to the aspect, I believe he actually knows every word everybody's ever going to say and so forth. I don't understand that kind of knowledge and understanding. It's just beyond my brain to even think about what he does know and what he doesn't know. But he is not in control, in my mind, to the point that he's up there making everything happen. He's not causing these people. He's not causing Podesta to go to that ritual. He's not making Podesta do that. He's in control in the aspect that he knows what future events are going to take place. But God is not, from what I read from the Bible, he is not in the habit of taking over people's lives on the minutiae and just making them do this and do that. He got a hold of Ezekiel and he told him, okay, now you stand up, And his God's spirit went into Ezekiel and he started telling Ezekiel things he wanted to do, but he kept emphasizing, you do it, you do it, you don't back down, you don't be scared, you do it. He encouraged Ezekiel to do it. He didn't make Ezekiel do it. If he made Ezekiel do it, then he's in so much control that it matters not that we're even having a huddle here today.
That's right.
If he ain't that much control, then we may as well all get off of this huddle, go get a glass of hot chocolate and say to hell with it. It doesn't make any difference because God's in control.
That's right, Larry. It's like I was watching a little bit of the Buckeyes on Saturday night. And they were making great plays out there. They really were. And Urban Meyer was in control. Players were playing just the way Urban Meyer had coached them to play. And they were making great plays. And after the game, and the game was over, and he went back and reviewed the films, I'm going to tell you something. If he reviewed those films and some of those guys weren't doing what they were supposed to do, they're going to find out he was in control. He'd take the right tackle, and he'd sit his big butt on the bench. He'd put another right tackle in. Because he was in control. But just like Urban Meyer uses people, so does God. Yeah, God's in control. But see, God, listen, here's a nugget for you. God's in total control. But he doesn't control everything. Say it again because you missed it. God's in control of everything. But he doesn't control everything. You understand what I'm saying? He has the ultimate say. He's the authority. He's the one that directs the band. But if I'm in the band and I'm playing the wrong key, he's going to let me play the wrong key for a while. And the next performance, I'll be out and somebody else will be in. Because if God really controlled everything, then nobody would ever be off key. Why would he want to have the band not playing the right sound? God works through people. God is in control of everything. But he doesn't control everything. What a concept for us to get. Guys, why is the devil's team so... Can you imagine what they would be saying if they found out that Donald Trump was having tongue-talking services in his private meetings? Can you imagine what the left would do with that? Oh, my goodness. They're in there tongue-talking and praying in tongues and casting out devils. Can you? But you can go do blood sacrifices and write blood and write words in blood and semen and milk. What? What? That's God's will, right? That's God's will. We've lost our stinking minds. The church, we're out of our mind. We've got 5 minutes left. Anybody wants to hop in here?
Hey, Coach, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
I was fortunate enough yesterday to get behind the mic at the church about 10 minutes, and I read a post that one of the people on our your Facebook page, and the whole church just... they locked up. They could not understand what I was talking about, about the men taking advantage and doing what we are supposed to do. And my pastor is right behind me. He says, after I got through speaking, he says, Kevin, he says, you're like the cop, the good cop. You go out and you bust somebody in the chops, you knock them down, you throw the cuss on them, and then you stand them up and say, are you okay?
That's a good picture. Yeah. We need to do that, don't we, Kevin? And we're not doing enough of it. We're not doing enough of it.
I appreciate what you're doing for me.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said, I appreciate what you're doing for me. You're giving me the boldness and courage to go out and speak, and I'm getting people behind me to go along with me.
Amen. Hey, Kevin, we have to help them see this. We have to help them make the church great again. Right, JR? You got it up there on your screen. This is all, every bit of this, every bit of this is in the hands of the church, every bit of where we are. But see, we have a defeatist attitude in the church. And our defeatist attitude is, well, the devil's going to get so powerful at the end that God's going to come back and he's going to take his ball and go home. And we're going to go home with him. we don't see a conquering king standing at the end of it. We don't see Jesus at the end of this thing standing on top of a defeated foe with a sword in the air. We don't see that. We see the devil winning and we're running. There's no other, guys, there's no other way to say it. The rapture is running. We're running. Does that honor the Lord? Oh, Lord, get me out of here before it gets bad. It's been so great serving you. Oh, Lord, get us out of here. What? It'd be like one of my players come up in the fourth quarter and say, oh, coach, the game's on the line, and they are blitzing, and they're mean as hell. Get me out of here, coach. I just want the game to be over. We ain't never going to win like that, boys. We ain't never going to win. And so, as we said in Ezekiel, if I can circle back around there, Jared, if you can pull that back up there for us again, Ezekiel 2. It's good, man. I love the Bible. Love the Bible. You know what I like best about it? I like it best when I read it and my pastor doesn't tell me what it says. I like it best because I found out something I can think and moan. We're going to end with this today. And he said unto me, son of man, stand upon your feet, and I'm going to speak unto you. The Spirit entered into me. When he spoke unto me and set me on my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. How about that? You hear him. He said to me, son of man, I shall send you to the children of the church, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their dads have transgressed against me, and they're still doing it to this day, for they are impudent, disobedient, stiff-hearted children. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus says your daddy. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will not hear, for they are a rebellious house, church, you shall know that there's been a prophet amongst them. And you, son of man, don't be afraid of them. Neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and though thou dost dwell among scorpions, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of their words, nor dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And then you shall speak my words unto them, and whether they will hear or whether they won't hear, they're rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say unto you. Be not like that rebellious, like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and speak. And when I looked, behold, a hand was set unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and it was written within there, lamentations and mourning and woe. Chapter 3 tomorrow. Don't miss it. God bless y'all. What a great day tomorrow is going to be. It's decision day. And then we'll know what direction we're going to move after that.